DW Africa Link.
Ghana has a lot of gold in the ground. In fact, the West African nation is now Africa's largest gold producer, surpassing South Africa. But here's the irony. While billions are made from mining, many Ghanaians say they see little benefit. Instead, they are left with poisoned rivers, destroyed farmlands, and foreign companies pocketing most of the profits. That raises a burning question. Is Ghana truly reaping the benefits of its mining wealth? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Gold, bauxite, and other minerals. Mining accounts for nearly 7% of Ghana's economy and constitutes roughly 40% of its exports. Sounds great, right? But the industry's bright numbers hide darker realities. Illegal mining, locally known as galamsey in Ghana, is not just a problem. It's a crisis. It's prevalent everywhere, providing jobs for thousands, but also poisoning rivers, destroying forests, and dividing communities. In addition, billions of dollars in gold are smuggled out of the country each year, while many locals struggle to make ends meet. The government says it's fighting back, but many argue that the efforts are insufficient or get entangled in politics. Let's delve into the matter with my colleague Ajua Tinkroma Domina, who is DW's correspondent in Accra, Ghana. I also have Alex Vines. He is Africa Director at the European Council on Foreign Relations. Welcome to Africa Link, both of you. Alex, you've been attending a mining-focused conference in Accra, the West African Mining and Security Conference, it is. How vital is mining to Ghana and the broader West Africa region?
So mining in West Africa, it's significant, especially for bauxite, gold, iron ore, uranium, and diamonds. They're all destined for global supply chains. Guinea, for example, has the world's largest bauxite results and accounts for half of global production of aluminium ore exports. Guinea and Mauritania, some of the world's largest iron ore producers in the world. And Niger is a world-class uranium producer. Lithium is also becoming an increasingly important focus of interest. There is an operational mine in Mali, and shortly in Ghana, there will be one opened. And there's also prospecting for lithium in Côte d'Ivoire. Maybe your listeners don't realize, but West Africa has become the hub of gold mining, with the region's total production of gold has now taken over from South Africa. So the focus of gold production in Africa is now West Africa. And while mining production globally is on the decline, production in West Africa is growing. We're seeing a lot more foreign direct investment and exploration for mining emerging, particularly in coastal states. Côte d'Ivoire is seeing a lot more interest, for example, and maybe that's also to do with something that I'm sure we're going to discuss, which is the worsening security situation in Sahelian states and the difficulties to operate gold mining investments in those countries.
Right. And just for those listening, what I could not excuse is the fact that the conference you are attending has to do with somehow mining and security. What do these two have in common? How do they connect here?
Well, Ghana is number one in gold production. It is not by any coincidence that its old name in the colonial period was Gold Coast. Ghana's famous for its gold. And gold prices are at record level. So everybody is looking at how they can produce more gold. But the conference was focused on security because Burkina Faso and Mali are important gold producers, but they are suffering from a serious jihadist threat. And that is beginning to jeopardize supply chains for some of the mining operations. Some of them have been even attacked. And then there is the issue that is growing in West Africa that is worth a discussion, which is the juntas in Burkina Faso and in Mali have been relooking at contracts and trying and renegotiating or threatening nationalization of mining assets. But it's also a reappraisal of contracts is something wider in West Africa. It's also happening in Guinea, for example. Senegal is looking at it. So the concept of resource nationalism is a very real one. There are some legitimate reasons for it. And so that's been widely discussed in this conference that I am attending.
Right, right. Thanks for making that connection. And we'll be talking a bit more about the challenges in the mining sector in Ghana and beyond on the continent. But let me come to you, Adjoa. It seems like it's a great time to be mining minerals, especially gold in Ghana. This particular government seems to place a lot of importance on mining. How is it maximizing revenue from the mining sector, particularly from gold?
Let me begin with what the government has been doing since it came into office somewhere in January, but really work started for them in February. Now, as part of the first 60 plans of the president, three key of them were focused on mining. And the number one was a pledge to, you know, prioritize local participation in the industry. And now they wanted to do this by instituting measures which would encourage Ghanaians, you know, businesses from taking over the mining scene. If you recall, in April this year, there was a news about Ghana sacking all foreigners out of its gold market. And this was, I mean, one of the efforts by the government, you know, to put mining back in the hands of Ghanaians. And the end result for them is that the country gets to gain more if production is left in the hands of Ghanaians. Now, they also introduced plans to make the extractive sector operate within a mutually tax beneficial environment. The goal of this was to focus on resuscitating the Ghanaian local currency, the Ghana cedi, which had been struggling for some time before the government came into office.
Really interesting what you're saying, Adjoa. One of the things they are doing is also what is being described as a major step forward. Talking about the Gold Board Initiative, what is it exactly and what impact has it had on increasing revenue, for example?
So the Gold Board is acting like the Ghana Cocoa Board, which is the sole company which regulates issues about gold mining and other precious minerals. So, for instance, if in Ghana currently, if you want to buy, if you want to sell, even if you want to weigh gold, if you want to assay, if you want to export, the only channel you have is the Gold Board. And this is part of efforts by the government to institutionalize or formalize how gold trade is conducted in the country. Now, what they are trying to get out of that is that there has to be a streamline of the commercialization of gold so that the country will be able to strictly monitor how much, for instance, it is earning from gold, how many people are buying gold from which people, and how many people are producing gold at which capacity or quantity. So that is essentially what a Gold Board is. Now, it has been one instrument that has increased revenue coming in, particularly from the gold sector. So in May, for instance, Ghana's revenue, export revenue for gold reached, I think, nearly $900 million. Now, this figure is the highest the country has recorded in gold export value in the last 2 years.
Sounds like a solid system being put in place by Ghana's government. We'll be getting to the challenges that still remain. Talking about that, I'm going to come to you, Alex, because look, Ghana has mined gold for decades, right? However, concerns remain about whether the country is truly maximizing its benefits. We've heard already about what the government is doing. Is Ghana really getting the best out of its gold, Alex?
It's a good question. And that's the government is looking at how it can be more effective. It wants to continue to attract big investors into the mining industry. And I do think there's an opportunity, as I already mentioned, because of insecurities further north. Investors are looking at coastal states like Ghana to put money in. And with the gold price as high as it is, it's an attractive prospect. So, you know, Ghana's got to not only be more effective in its existing mining, and I'm sure we'll talk about the challenges of small and informal mining and how to regularize that more effectively, but not deny people livelihoods. But also getting licenses for and encouraging bigger companies to do exploration to see whether there might be, you know, world-class deposits to really develop. That's really important. So this is a priority for the Mahama administration. And the UN General Assembly speech that the president made last week, there was a significant part of it was focused on how to get better equity in terms of business and international partnerships. And gold mining is one of those issues that's top of the agenda.
Right. You know what? Let's jump straight into it, talking about some of the key challenges facing the mining sector, not just in Ghana, but also the sub-region. What is really holding the region back?
So there are a number of challenges. One still is for finance and exploration. The mining global industry is underfinanced, and so attracting capital is important. There is the management of expectations and the delivery of taxes and royalties from mining. Obviously, mining companies are commercial entities. They have shareholders to be focused upon, but governments obviously want to improve the benefits that they extract from commercial enterprises. We are in an atmosphere now in West Africa and more broadly on the African continent of reappraising these types of relationships. The term is resource nationalism. That's not entirely bad, but it will need careful management, because if it's overbearing, capital will go elsewhere. And this is already, I think, something we're seeing in countries like Niger, which have nationalized a variety of different mining industries. And for example, a uranium company in Niger is on its last legs and might go bankrupt. So there are dangers to this that also need to be carefully managed. And industry here in Ghana is worried that there is a proposal that arbitration, if there is a dispute over, for example, mining, that the Ghanaians want now just to have local arbitration and not the recourse for international arbitration. Now, in principle, I don't see anything problematic about going through a Ghanaian court, but the issue is, will Ghanaian courts be more vulnerable to influence? So what's the integrity of them?
Right. Thanks, Alex. I mean, so many issues, but, you know, I feel like it's a good thing, though, at least that these things are being discussed, right? You know, so we know the shortfalls, what more can be done to you know, get the best out of all these minerals deep down the ground. And Adjoa, talking about challenges, smuggling, especially gold smuggling, is high on the agenda. And let's not even forget illegal mining continuing to pose a significant challenge in Ghana. Tell us more about that and how the government is trying to combat it.
I'm glad you mentioned this because over the past few weeks, the conversation in the country has really been weighing in on the impact of illegal mining on the country. In Ghana, we call it galamsey. And we've had, you know, several interviews where we've spoken about the impact illegal mining is having on the country and even the extent of costing the country billions of dollars annually because of how people would want to engage in the illegal trade or the illegal exploration or mining of gold. Now, the president is meeting with civil society organizations on the 3rd of October. Because of some of these concerns that have been raised, there have been demonstrations in the past few days, you know, in Ghana, calling for a state of emergency to be declared. So that's on the illegal mining side. A lot of Ghanaians are worried, not just for gold production, but there are other effects as well, which we don't have time to go into. But in terms of gold smuggling, we saw a report from the Africa Gold Report in June, for instance, this year, which talked about how Ghana lost about $11 billion between 2019 and 2023, which is about five years. To smuggling. Now, the Gold Board, which we mentioned earlier, has been established to also curb smuggling. Now, one of the steps they say they are implementing is a gold aggregation system. So what that means is that there are nationwide gold aggregators who are supposed to conduct strict licensing for gold purchases. Provide some incentives as well for people who would want to come through them instead of go through the illegal route. So that makes it easier for people who have the legitimate license to buy and sell gold to go through these aggregators. Also, they have also been tasked to issue our strict licenses for all actors in the value chain. And this, they are hoping to help create like a centralized platform.
Right, Adjoa, thanks for that. Here's the challenge too, because many argue that the government could even do more. There's been calls from critics and activists that the government should declare a state of emergency on illegal mining, which is one of the big challenges you talked about. Why hasn't the government done that?
It's interesting because the government was in opposition just about 12 months ago, and they were, you know, putting pressure on the then administration to declare a state of emergency over illegal mining, which was rampant at the time. Now it's gotten worse because we've had people like the Catholic bishops in Ghana, who rarely comment on national issues, come out to say that, look, it's time for you to declare a state of emergency because things are getting out of hand. The president held a media briefing sometime last month, and he said that a state of emergency is the last resort. He says that there are other measures that they can put in place. And one of these measures is, for instance, you know, monitoring how illegal mining is being conducted and stationing water guards along the river bodies to, you know, effect arrest of people who are engaging in illegal mining. But these efforts are not working. And so there is that constant call or cry for a state of emergency, which people believe that if you do that, you can put on hold all mining activities. I mean, it will come at a cost to the country, but it's a temporary fix to a permanent problem, you know, so that in the interim, you can assess how the damage has occurred and assess who has the license, who has given them the license, and take action.
Look, Alex, there's been challenges or issues for decades, as long as Ghana and indeed many other countries have been mining these precious minerals from underground. Is declaring a state of emergency to deal with the different challenges we've talked about, illegal mining, called galamsey in Ghana, talk about smuggling and all, isn't it the right move to declare a state of emergency to make it so serious that more effort to be put into it, or what do you make of it?
I'm not sure that a state of emergency will get to the root causes. I mean, illegal mining is a massive challenge anywhere in the world, and there aren't easy solutions to this. Ghana, you know, has faced this also with, you know, in Akwatia with diamond production too, illicit operations in that area. So it needs systems and processes. There are initiatives now that are developing on how to handle this. It's interesting that at the West African and Mining Security Conference, the World Bank had sent experts over from Washington, who are now increasingly thinking about how to help countries on this particular issue, because the reality is that informal mining also does employ a lot of people. You know, a lot of livelihoods are reliant on it. There is another element to this, which is that the insecurity further north across the border in Burkina Faso has meant that quite a few Burkinab, who are experts also in mining and informal mining, who used to do it there, have crossed the border into Ghana because they know what to do. But Ghana is secure and Burkina is not. So there's also a related migration issue into Ghana. Of more people that want to now focus and make livelihood out of gold. So this is really, it's a wicked challenge, but I'm not sure state of emergency necessarily will resolve this. You're absolutely right. It does need to be a high-level priority. This is, I think, why the president last week in New York talked about it, and as we've heard, why he's convening a meeting in a couple of days' time with civil society that has been incredibly important in raising the issues of informal mining, galansi, as you call it.
Right. I would want us to wrap it up with some key solutions to protect Ghana's mining industry and indeed the region's industry. What needs to be done now to address the common issues that plague it?
Improve security, better regulation and institution building. I think these are really important. It is good that there is a rigorous debate and discussion now here in Ghana taking place, because there is a massive opportunity for Ghana on mining. With gold prices going through the roof, more people are looking than ever to invest in Ghana. And so harnessing this industry, investing in it and professionalizing it, this is the moment to do it. There's more money around to do it now. You can't do this when prices are low. There's not the money to do the types of investments. So also working with big companies like Anglo Gold Ashanti to get them to be even better corporate citizens and improve their systems and processes to maximize how they can enhance the revenue that they generate so that the Ghanaians and Ghanaian government can benefit from this.
We'll have our fingers crossed that something more tangible will be done about this. Thank you very much. A lot of insights shared by the both of you, Ajoa Tinkroma Domina, DW correspondent in Accra, Ghana, and Alex Vines, Africa Director at the European Council on Foreign Relations. Thank you both very much. Now, no doubt the challenges in the mining sector are many. This year's edition of the West African Mining and Security Conference is being held in Accra, Ghana, a cooperation between Ghana's government and the Australian High Commission. It is coming at a time when Ghana and Australia have deepened their strategic partnership for sustaining mining through funding and technological support. Here's what the Australian High Commissioner to Ghana, Berenice Owen-Jones, had to say about mining security and possible solutions to help tackle the issues.
In West Africa, mining companies are operating at the crossroads of insurgency, illicit trade, and weak governance. And there are very few guardrails left. There's a lack of development funding now, a lack of programs in some of the countries, some difficult countries like Mali and Burkina Faso. And there's not much intelligence on the ground either. These countries are also feeling the impact of a drawdown in humanitarian aid as well. There are also political risks faced by mining companies. So we're finding that mining companies are navigating a resurgence of what I would call resource nationalism.
Strong words there from the Australian High Commissioner to Ghana, Berenice Owen Jones. Now, across Africa, natural resources have often been more of a curse than a blessing. And Ghana risks falling into the same trap if it doesn't secure its minerals better. However, I'd want to be positive and say there's hope. Experts say the key lies in formalizing small-scale mining, plugging the smuggling leaks, and ensuring communities benefit from the wealth under their feet. Because as things stand, the Gold Coast still shines, but for outsiders, more than for Ghanaians themselves. What do you think? Share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.